Test 3.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
11. How much are these jackets?
They're on sale today, sir. $25 each, or 2 for $40.
Question. How much does one jacket cost? Twelve. Shall we have dinner in that French restaurant?
I can't eat a thing. I feel too bad. My stomach aches.
Question. What do you think the woman will do? Thirteen. Tina's husband is friendly and easygoing.
Yes, just the exact opposite of her brother.
Question. What is Tina's brother like?
14. Last night we went to Peter's house to listen to music.
I heard that he has more than 300 jazz records. Is that right?
Question. What do we learn from the conversation?
Fifteen. I need 6 stamps, and I'd like to send these 2 books by airmail.
Here are your stamps, but you have to go to the next window for the books.
Question. Where does this conversation most probably take place?
Sixteen. Jim, would you mind driving me to my school?
Sure, why not?
Question. How does Jim respond to the woman?
Seventeen. Did you see Mary in the business office?
Yes, she was applying for a student loan.
Question. What was Mary doing?
Eighteen. When is the movie to start?
Don't worry. It doesn't start until 12:30. We've still got 30 minutes.
Question. What's the time now?
2 you'll hear 2 long conversations.
Conversation 1. Hey, Kevin, I haven't seen you since the beginning of the semester. How are you going?
Well, I'm a little overwhelmed. It's strange. I always want to go to a big university like this, and now I'm here. I'm not so sure. You know, the courses are interesting enough, but...
What's bothering you, then?
Well, after going to a small school and knowing everybody, it's pretty tiring to be in a huge lecture hall with hundreds of students. And not one professor even knows my name.
I know. I was so pretty lost myself last year, but I know about something that might help. It's called the mentor group.
The what?
The mentor group. It's like a support group. I joined it last year when I was the first year student.
So what is it?
It's basically a professor and a small group of students getting together informally to discuss all kinds of subjects.
You have the chance to meet a professor and other students.
Oh, sounds nice. But doesn't it take up a lot of studying time?
Not really. You can study all the time, and this is like a little break.
I guess you could meet a certain professor whose course you might take later.
Exactly. That's what happened to me. I am taking the psychology course of Professor Green. I didn't know how interesting the psychology was, so I went to talk to him in the mentor group.
You talked to him in the mentor group? Is it too late to join?
I don't think so. If I were you, I'd go over to the dean's office and sign up.
I'm going to the library to return the book, but I can do it later, I guess.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 19. Why does the man feel a little overwhelmed?
20.
What does the woman suggest that the man do?
21. According to the conversation, what is not true about Professor Green?
22.
What is the man probably going to do next? 2. Good morning. Can I help you?
Good morning. I'm Mr. Douglas in room 1208. My business negotiation has progressed much more slowly than I had expected. This makes it necessary for me to stay here for another day. I wonder if it is possible for me to extend my stay at this hotel for 2 days.
I'll take a look at the hotel's booking situation. Yes, sir. I'm glad that we'll be able to accept your extension request. But I'm afraid that it will be necessary for us to ask you to change rooms for the last 2 nights. You see, we have already assigned your room to another gentleman. Is that acceptable to you?
Yes, that's no problem at all.
Let me see. Room 1111 will be available. How about room 1111?
That is fine.
When would you like to move tomorrow?
I don't know.
The new occupant will be checking in a little after 12.
That means I have to move out before 12. Let me see. I'll be leaving for the negotiation at 9:30 tomorrow morning, and I will not be returning to the hotel until sometime in the afternoon, so I'm going to have to do it before I go to the negotiation. Well, I think I'll move at 9 o'clock.
Good. I will send a bellboy to your room and help you with your luggage at 9 o'clock. And please remember to bring your key card to the reception desk when you leave it tomorrow, so that I can change the room number on it.
I will. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 23.
What is the possible relationship between the two speakers?
24.
What's Mr. Douglas's purpose in talking with the other speaker?
25.
Which of the following statements is not true according to the conversation?
6. Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear 3 short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2, with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. The first day of April ranks among the most joyous days in the juvenile calendar. It is a day when you hoax friends of yours with jokes, like sending them to the shop for some pigeon's milk, or telling them to dig a hole because a dog has died. When they came back and ask where is the dead dog, you say, April Fools, and laugh at them. There are some when you just say, your shoelace is undone, or your belt is hanging, or go and fetch that plate off the table, and of course their shoelace is tied up right, and their belt is not hanging, and there is no plate on the table. So you say, ever been had, April Fools? And parents, of course, are not exempt. We have a lovely time, says an 11-year-old Swansea girl, as there are so many jokes to play, such as sewing up the bottom of Daddy's trousers. And a 9-year-old Birmingham boy writes, last year I fooled my father by gluing a penny to the floor and saying, Dad, you've dropped a penny on the floor. He couldn't get it off the ground because it was stuck firm. Then I shouted, yeah, April Fools.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. 26. Which of the following is not true according to the passage? Why did his father look for a penny? 28. Why did he tell his father that his penny dropped on the floor? 2. If you plan to remain in the United States for any length of time, you will soon find it too expensive to stay in a hotel and will want to find another place to live. As is true in cities everywhere in the world, the farther you live outside the city, generally the lower the rents will be. However, traveling to and from the city by bus, car, or train may make it as expensive as living in the city. Naturally, it is easier to join in the life of a city if one is close to the center of the city. For this reason, you may prefer to live as close to the center of the city as possible, or you may prefer to rent a place for only a month or two until you become more familiar with the area. Your best source of information about either houses or apartments is likely to be the local newspaper. Usually, the week's most complete listing of houses or apartments to rent appears in the Sunday newspaper, which, in many cities, can be obtained late Saturday night. Many people looking for houses or apartments believe that they have a better chance of finding a place to live if they have all the information as soon as possible. On Sunday morning, they are ready to call or visit.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. 29. Which may be the best source of information about houses? 30. Why would somebody prefer to live as close to the center of the city as possible? 31. According to this passage, which of the following is not true? 3. Of all the stars, the sun is the nearest to the earth. Millions of other stars are even bigger and brighter than the sun. They look small only because they are much farther away. You can't see them in the daytime. But if you go out at night, you'll be able to see thousands of them. The Earth is one of the sun's planets, and the moon is the nearest to the Earth in space, and men have visited it already. No man has traveled farther than the moon, but spaceships without people have reached other planets. Many countries have set up man-made satellites to circle the Earth. With their help, people have done much research in many fields of science. Our countries sometimes have sent up man-made satellites to send and receive TV programs. This has helped the people of China and other countries to understand each other better.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. 32. What do we learn about the sun? 33. Which planet have some people reached? What can we do because of man-made satellites? 35. What do we learn from the passage? 6. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the 2nd time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard, or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the 3rd time, you should check what you have written. According to the evolutionary theory of sleep, evolution equipped us with a regular pattern of sleeping and waking. The theory does not deny that sleep provides some important restorative functions. It merely says that evolution has programmed us to perform those functions at a time when activity would be inefficient and possibly dangerous. However, sleep protects us only from the sort of trouble we might walk into. It does not protect us from trouble that comes looking for us. So we sleep well in a familiar, safe place, but we sleep lightly, if at all, when we fear that bears will nose into the tent. The evolutionary theory accounts well for differences in sleep among creatures. Why do cats, for instance, sleep so much, while horses sleep so little? Surely cats do not need 5 times as much repair and restoration as horses do. But cats can afford to have long periods of inactivity because they spend little time eating and are unlikely to be attacked while they sleep. Horses must spend almost all their waking hours eating because what they eat is very low in energy value. Moreover, they cannot afford to sleep too long or too deeply because their survival depends on their ability to run away from attackers. According to the evolutionary theory of sleep, evolution equipped us with a regular pattern of sleeping and waking. The theory does not deny that sleep provides some important restorative functions. It merely says that evolution has programmed us to perform those functions at a time when activity would be inefficient and possibly dangerous. However, sleep protects us only from the sort of trouble we might walk into. It does not protect us from trouble that comes looking for us. So we sleep well in a familiar, safe place, but we sleep lightly, if at all, when we fear that bears will nose into the tent. The evolutionary theory accounts well for differences in sleep among creatures. Why do cats, for instance, sleep so much, while horses sleep so little? Surely cats do not need 5 times as much repair and restoration as horses do. But cats can afford to have long periods of inactivity because they spend little time eating and are unlikely to be attacked while they sleep. Horses must spend almost all their waking hours eating because what they eat is very low in energy value. Moreover, they cannot afford to sleep too long or too deeply because their survival depends on their ability to run away from attackers. According to the evolutionary theory of sleep, evolution equipped us with a regular pattern of sleeping and waking. The theory does not deny that sleep provides some important restorative functions. It merely says that evolution has programmed us to perform those functions at a time when activity would be inefficient and possibly dangerous. However, sleep protects us only from the sort of trouble we might walk into. It does not protect us from trouble that comes looking for us. So we sleep well in a familiar, safe place, but we sleep lightly, if at all, when we fear that bears will nose into the tent. The evolutionary theory accounts well for differences in sleep among creatures. Why do cats, for instance, sleep so much, while horses sleep so little? Surely cats do not need 5 times as much repair and restoration as horses do. But cats can afford to have long periods of inactivity because they spend little time eating and are unlikely to be attacked while they sleep. Horses must spend almost all their waking hours eating because what they eat is very low in energy value. Moreover, they cannot afford to sleep too long or too deeply, because their survival depends on their ability to run away from attackers.
Mm-hmm.